Universa.
Novi heroji Univerze. Podjetništvo je termin, ki smo ga vajeni v diskurzu ekonomistov oziroma v gospodarskem sektorju države. Zadnje čase pa ni nenavadno, da s tovrstnim besednjakom opisujemo visoko šolstvo, univerzo in procese na njej. V refleksiji njenega razvoja mora torej kritično oko videti, razumeti in govoriti o tem, da lahko z analizo stanja predvidi stran pota in njih nevarnosti ter z vzbujanjem pozornosti na nje izrazi svoj upor. Na Pedagoški fakulteti Univerze v Ljubljani so v prejšnjem tednu gostili mednarodno delavnico doktorskega študija pod kratico UNIKE, University in the Knowledge Economy. Več o tem nam je povedal Pavel Zgaga, predstojnik Centra za študij edukacijskih politik.
Naš glavni namen je pravzaprav kritično raziskati in reflektirati, kaj pravzaprav ta pojem univerze in družbe znanja pomeni. Kaj so njegove razsežnosti, kaj so njegove ne nazadnje tudi nevarnosti. Skratka, projekt je kritično orientiran iz vidika družbenih ved in humanističnih ved.
V okviru te poletne šole so kot enega od gostujočih predavateljev povabili tudi antropologa profesorja Krisa Šora iz Univerze v Oaklandu. Ta je mednarodno obarvani publiki v zbornični dvorani Univerze v Ljubljani predstavil svojo raziskavo o komercializaciji novozelandskih univerz. Nažalost lahko rečemo, da je zgodba z drugega konca sveta več kot podobna naši, oziroma lahko rečemo, da gre za zgodbo, katere nauke lahko apliciramo kar globalno. O tem smo na Radiu Študent že kar nekaj govorili. Kakšen nov uvid v situacijo nam je torej predstavil Šor?
Term third mission tends to refer to activities that try to bring external actors into direct partnership with the university, and they're usually partners from industry and business. And the way in which external partners are engaging more directly with the routine activities of the university, such as the commercialization of university intellectual property or the establishment of externally referenced research institutes. Now, there is nothing new in any of this, of course. What is new, however, and this is a rather important point, is the extent to which these partnerships are becoming institutionalized and embedded in institutional practice. And secondly, the extent to which they're becoming a dominant and increasingly important feature of the university.
Šor se je z etnografsko metodo poglobil v preučevanje fenomena tovrstne transformacije akademskega okolja. Pri tem je ugotovil, da univerza v tej zgodbi ni žrtev, ampak kolaborator.
Now, often critics, particularly kind of left-wing critics in the academy, have argued that what we're seeing here is the colonization of higher education by businesses and commerce. Much of the literature on university reform and globalization sort of highlights the way in which, you know, these kind of metaphors, almost like rape metaphors, universities are being penetrated by external, you know, venture capitalists. But I'd like to suggest that actually, is this really the colonization of universities, or is it more of a case that universities are quite happily colonizing themselves, or different parts of the university seem quite pleased and quite happy to allow this process. Indeed, they are often the universities themselves, as I discovered in a recent interview with the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Enterprise in the capital of New Zealand, that they were quite astonished at just the extent that vice chancellors were going to try and increase these processes. Why? Well, I think the first and obvious point is that if a vice chancellor is defined as the CEO of a small to medium enterprise, then of course any evidence base of the increase in revenue and commercialization reflects very positively on their own kudos and standing, particularly as a CEO, and it also reflects a general financialization of the university, which is reinforced by the whole processes and systems of international rankings and benchmarking and competitive research assessment.
Tovrstne prakse spreminjajo vrednote in norme znotraj univerze. Spreminja se vrednotenje vsebin znanja ter sama vloga akademikov oziroma ideja o tem, kaj pomeni biti uspešen akademik. S porastom nagrad in odlik za inovacije in aplikacije znanja v komercialnem sektorju univerza spodbuja podjetniške dispozicije in behaviorizem. Ta preobrat oziroma poudarek na podjetništvu odseva širši preobrat v gospodarjenju v visokem šolstvu, naraščajoča cena visokega šolstva, redukcija javnih sredstev, stopnjujoče tekmovanje za pridobivanje študentske populacije, pridobivanje raziskovalcev svetovnega kova in potreba po generiranju novih virov dohodka za zapolnitev primankljaja nastalega zaradi zmanjšanih javnih sredstev. Hkrati pa odseva tudi širši ideološki preobrat in idejo oziroma sprejetje ideje, da bi univerze morale biti bolj povezane z industrijo in da bodo v prihodnje univerze postale voditeljice globalne ekonomije znanja, to je kapitalizem znanja bo podpiral industrijske inovacije. Šor obrazloži, kako prodor te ideologije vpliva na spremembe struktur znotraj univerze.
Firstly, I think it's redefining power relations within the university in favor of management and in favor of those who control substantial budgets and staffing, what we might call the rise of the budgetariat. And it's also leading to the demise of the professoriat and probably also the creation of a new class of rather underpaid, casual, and very insecure adjunct staff. Let's call it the rise of the precariat. Secondly, it's transforming social relations within the university. It's creating new divisions, certainly new opportunities, but also new hierarchies and tensions, not only between academics and management, but also between academics themselves and between faculties and between universities as we urge departments and individuals to become more competitive. And this also raises a wider question about who can claim to speak for the university and set its policy agenda, and questions about the ontology of the university itself. What is it and what is it for? And thirdly, it's also reconfiguring the boundaries of the university. It's creating new institutional spaces, new research clusters, and new social relations of knowledge production. And these processes are being driven largely by government funding policies, but also by the new discourse of relevance and impact that holds that universities must make themselves more responsive, more responsible to stakeholders and to society. But as Marilyn Stefan points out, you know, society is usually conflated with business and commerce, these being the primary users who populate the government imaginaries of what constitutes society out there. Rather than seeing this as a departure from the traditional mission of the university to promote public knowledge or helping businesses make money by commercializing and privatizing university knowledge, it is increasingly seen as being completely consistent with the university's social mission. In other words, university officials and representatives from government organizations are often quite adamant that helping individuals and businesses to make money in the university is a social good.
Nekakšen dramaturški vrhunec Šorovega predavanja smo doživeli s citatom Billa Readingsa iz njegovih raziskav v 90-ih letih.
He says, "We've entered a post-historical phase. The mission of liberal education is lost. There is no longer a subject that can incarnate that principle. The adventure of a liberal education no longer has a hero. Neither a student to embark upon it, nor a professor hero as its end."
Pri institucionalizaciji podjetniških dejavnosti znotraj univerze, uperjene v premostitev vrzeli med akademijo in industrijami, se torej ustvarja mnogo novih struktur in prostorov, ki so na voljo tistim, ki to znajo kar najbolj izkoristiti. Kot rezultat se je razvila nova oblika junaških protagonistov v zgodbi sodobne univerze. To so akademski podjetniki, ki predstavljajo zgodbo uspeha. To so nove zvezde univerze. Kot pravi Šur, pa je jasno, da to vlogo herojev radi prevzemajo kar sami rektori.
Often referred to as superstars or superheroes of the university, these entrepreneurial academics were individuals who successfully combined their academic skills with entrepreneurial prowess and business savvy. These are the individuals who carry through the promise of promissory science. Typically, they were individuals who generated substantial sums of money through government grants or contract research, often forming long-term relationships with businesses in order to secure these grants. And the greatest of these were those who successfully founded and then directed their own large-scale research institute. They're knowledge brokers and mediators with track records of successful income generation. They sit and preside like barons over jobs, budgets, equipment, even their own buildings in some cases. They're seen as innovators who've succeeded in creating or running spin-out companies. And in Bourdieu's terms, you might say they've mastered the new academic field and acquired the feel for the game. And because of all this, they enjoy a very exalted status within the university and a very significant degree of autonomy. They don't even have to answer to HR, human resources, unlike most academics. And even to senior management teams. Like barons, they carved out their own fiefdoms in the expanded remit of the new university.
Kaj pomeni podjetništvo v njegovem raziskovalnem kontekstu, je Šur opredelil glede na uporabo tega besednjaka med novimi heroji.
In the context of a university, an entrepreneurial typically tend to be used as a kind of a portmanteau term for go-getting, self-starting, earn your own salary, seize the opportunity, what is it, take the mountain, close the deal. It doesn't have to be about calculated financial risk-taking. It's more about a particular disposition, or if you like the kind of Foucauldian term, it's a particular dispositif. And the rewards and motivations are more about cultural capital rather than economic capital. It's about status and prestige, commanding your own resources, having your own sphere of influence. Empire building, in short.
Kot antropologa ga je seveda zanimal tudi native's point of view oziroma notranja logika, ki vlada med novimi institucionaliziranimi heroji univerze.
The first is that when we put to our informants, isn't there a paradox that here we are, a public good, not-for-profit university, and you're working in an institution which is all about profit? Isn't that a contradiction? And this was the director of Uni Services saying, well, the problem is that university can't earn shares because then you'd be seen as investing public money into risky investments, and there's a Finance Act which precludes that, and all the things that university has trouble doing, we can do. We provide a business-friendly face for businesses, so we can make quick decisions, we can write quick contracts, we can buy and sell companies, we can do those things that the university can't or couldn't do at all. So stepping back, this is a really interesting and revealing phrase. We can do all these things because of the limited liability and the Finance Act. There are certain things that the university can't do that we can do. I think this is the university equivalent of the casino or the offshore tax haven. I don't know if I was drawn to Agamben's work on states of exception and how certain states of exception exist where the norms and the normal rules of society don't operate. And this is an example of that. We've created an offshore tax haven environment, a state of exception. And I think in one paper with Laura McLaughlin, we call this the Guantanamo principle. You can do what you like because it's outside the realms of normal morality.
Drugi aspekt je, da se sedaj te nove institucije prodajajo kot nekakšne ženitne posredovalnice med podjetji in akademiki, ki lahko podjetjem predstavijo svojo raziskovalno dejavnost. S tem predstavljajo univerzo kot prostor novih priložnosti, kjer lahko nepričakovano odkrijejo velike nove potenciale. Nadalje, po logiki novih herojev uspešno izpolnjujejo agendo vladne politike, da naj bi bila vsa raziskovalna dejavnost univerze v funkciji investicije v njenem strateškem načrtu razvoja. Raziskovalna dejavnost ni nič več namenjena vednosti, ampak je vrsta investicije. Pri tem imajo dejansko v mislih merilo zmožnost transformacije raziskave v finančno valuto. Shore zaključi.
Patents don't actually generate anything, or they generate a tiny percentage of the external revenue. And some people sort of said, well, we'd be better off just giving it away and treating it as a lost leader. And the most important thing is to generate research relationships. Which did make me wonder, why is there so much effort? Still, we know this, you know, we can measure it, and it counts for about 5% of all the external revenue raised through uni services came from patents. Most of it came from licensing. So why is it that the university puts such an emphasis on the importance? Could it have something to do with the KPIs of the Vice Chancellor? I suspect it does.
Šur ugotavlja, da se institucionalizacija podjetništva v visokem šolstvu transformira na več nivojih. Kot smo ugotovili tudi sami prek novinarskega dela na temo visokega šolstva, se je v zadnjih letih bistveno spremenil besednjak, s katerim opisujemo in naslavljamo ta družbeni sektor. Izgrajuje se nova semantična platforma za gradnjo koherentne ideologije. Te besede so na primer input in output, učinkovitost, uspešnost, relevantnost, podjetniški inkubatorji, priložnosti za investicije, inovacijske sinergije. Vse to znotraj ideje nove moderne univerze. Spreminja se definicija relevantnega znanja oziroma vednosti. Sredstva se preusmerjajo v raziskave, ki imajo komercialni potencial. S tem se odpira tudi okno, preko katerega lahko vlada vstopa v prostor akademije, ko razpisuje sredstva za določeno vrsto raziskav. Novi nastavki za nekatere seveda odpirajo nove priložnosti, hkrati pa ustvarjajo večje razslojevanje znotraj univerze. To so že imenovani novo nastali heroji na eni strani in zgube na drugi. Ali kot pove Shore, just as there are heroes, there are also zeros. Vse to krepi neoliberalne trende, ki spreminjajo univerzo iz javnega dobrega v modul privatne investicije.
In a curious way, it's changing temporality of pedagogy and knowledge, it's making things, the space of time required to complete a research project has become much shortened. You know, it's a standard joke, isn't it, that you know, neither Einstein nor Newton would have survived in the modern university. They would have been kicked out for non-productivity. And one of the things I noticed most profoundly is the loss of trust. Universities used to be professional organizations characterized by high trust. Now we have a regress of trust. They become low trust organizations managed by increasingly remote people in offices. Financialization of the university, I like to call this the rise of KPI culture, where teaching and research is increasingly evaluated in terms of financial indicators, the rationalities of commerce, and you know, alongside these impact factor weightings, we've now enumerated the number of PhD completions or the amount of external income you have to generate in order to satisfy your annual performance appraisal.
Ob vsej tej transformaciji lahko zaznamo naraščanje novih simbolnih prostorov, namenjenih krepitvi komercializacijske ideologije in novih subjektov. Zaposluje se vse več svetovalcev oziroma nekakšnih metastrokovnjakov, birokratov in menedžerjev. Šor v zaključku ugotavlja.
And of course, overall, what are we getting from this? Yeah, it's a new moral economy at the university, but it creates certain dilemmas, certain paradoxes. And from my own finding, I mean, one of the paradoxes is that the protagonists don't see these changes as posing any contradiction to the traditional public good role of the university. No, I mean, we've had people talking to us on this specific point saying, no, actually generating more money for the university is the new public good of the university.
Po dobri uri predstavitve nečesa, kar je za nas zelo črn scenarij globalnih trendov visokega šolstva, je bil čas za vprašanja publike. Zdi se, kot da je tale stežavo procesirala povedano. Šur je bil izvan z vprašanjem, kdo je tisti na univerzi, ki postaja podjeten, oziroma kdo je univerza, o kateri je bilo govora.
Who is becoming most entrepreneurial? Well, it's quite clearly in the cases I've been looking at that it's the vice chancellors and the project barons. You know, these are the people who most clearly benefit from this new regime. You know, it's enabled rapid promotion and a new kind of superstar status and a new platform within the university. A lot of prestige and status that goes there. But where I would, you asked me, you know, does this affect the rest of the university? Yes, it does. And this is the key point I'm trying to get across, that if it were simply contained and limited to these particular sites and institutes, fine, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm actually all in favour of parts of the university being more entrepreneurial. I think, you know, for the engineering department and the you know, the Faculty of Life Sciences that want to develop, you know, pacemakers and heart stuff, I think it's terrific that they're doing that. My problem is that because it becomes part of the Vice Chancellor's KPI, because it gets institutionalized through the mechanisms of performance management and contractualism, it then becomes the normative order that is being used to steer the rest of the university. So that even poor souls who've just joined the university in the Department of English or the Department of Letters are told that, you know, that this has now become the template and the norm for the whole university. And you are, so it's, in a curious sense, it's the tail is now wagging the dog, if I can use that metaphor, in a rather unhealthy way. And the challenge is going to be to put that tail back where it belongs and reclaim the university.
Če ste slučajno pozabili, je Chris Shore predstavljal ugotovitve svoje raziskave iz Nove Zelandije. Ja, človek bi težko spregledal podobnost slovenski ali katerikoli drugi svetovni zgodbi univerze. Pavel Zgaga tako ob koncu predavanja komentira.
Nova Zelandija je res točno v nasprotnem delu globusa, ampak če hočete, to je še en vidik tistega, da je pa ne bi bilo z globalnem svetu, bi imamo popolnoma iste probleme. In to smo poslušali profesorja Shora, skratka ste verjetno sama tudi v citatih, ki smo jih prijeli od bodisi od političnih voditeljev, bodisi od univerzitetnih voditeljev v Novi Zelandiji, samo zamenjate določene trinke in imena oziroma določene pojme in dobite slovensko situacijo. Skratka, to govori o tem, da je toliko bolj pomembno tudi iz vidika kritičnega družboslovja skupaj. Skratka, v planetarnih razmerah misliti problematiko, s katero smo soočeni, videti, kaj se dogaja na drugih kontinentih. Seveda v aktivističnem smislu verjetno tudi organizirati se v tem kontekstu in poskušati seveda prodreti z alternativnimi idejami.
Ob povedani verziji dognane znanstvene resnice univerze ne smemo torej pozabiti na uporniške odgovore na tovrstne trende. Shore svoje raziskave sicer ne opredeljuje kot angažirane, a sebe tretira kot aktivista. Kot etabliran akademik meni, da se v svoji poziciji moči počuti dolžnega o teh stvarih govoriti in opozarjati na negativne posledice tovrstnega razvoja. Nekateri še upajo na možnosti drugačnega razvoja družbe, nekateri še opozarjamo na neumnosti nekaterih postmodernih praks. Včasih je potrebno stopiti dva koraka nazaj, se zazreti v zgodovino in se od nje učiti. Se učiti o dobrih in slabih praksah, da bi potem lahko stopili tri korake naprej, da bi torej lahko gradili prihodnost na temeljih, ki so se izkazali za koristne, za dobre. Neodvisna produkcija znanja zaradi znanja samega ni le dobra in koristna, ampak je nujna. Bojujmo se za njeno ohranitev. The New Zero Univerze je bila za vas Maruša.
A snimate? Meni zadošča, da bi padla kaka opeka študentu na glavo, pa bi, ne glede na to, da sem dekan ali ne, bil hud in žalosten. Zdaj me je predvsem strah. Tako jutro se vprašam, ali se ni po noči zgodilo kaj takega, kar strahom pričakujem. To lahko imenujete kakorkoli hočete, toda zdaj to občutim tako. Nobenega drugega interesa zaenkrat ne vidim.
Vrtiš on knof in potem tako knof se nekje ostal in ne gre več naprej in to pomeni to, ne, to je rš, ne.